Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
18-year-old Cameron Giselle Booker was charged with assault after the incident on campus where students had gathered to mourn the loss of Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated last week. Booker appears to chant a celebration of Kirk's death and then was involved in a confrontation with two different people.
I'm not emotional, ma'am. Don't tell me what I am and what I'm not. You can get out of my face because I can tell you what you are, but you won't like it.
You're being aggressive. 10 minutes ago,
I'm not being aggressive. My voice is very calm. You're calling me aggressive because I'm a black woman.
No,
we're not.
Governor Greg Abbott took to social media saying she picked the wrong place to taunt the death of Kirk.
The Texas Education Agency is going after teachers that post negative things about Kirk. They're reviewing 180 complaints. Zeph Capo is the president of the Texas AFT, says the TEA Commissioner Mike Morath's on a witch hunt.
He's trampled on people's rights to have some level of due process. And frankly, rather than being a public servant that is apolitical, has decided to take gasoline and pour it onto a political fire and light the match.
In a letter, Morath warned superintendents that teachers that post or shared content would be referred for investigation for possible violations of the teacher's code of ethics.
I'm Lauren Berry, and welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey stations across the country. Today, we're talking about the political climate of the United States and how it's creating strange bedfellows. In the wake of the assassination of conservative youth organizer and debating firebrand Charlie Kirk, people are taking positions you might not have imagined. On one side, respected educators have been accused of celebrating murder. And say what you will, at a base level, you don't have to be a parent to want people guiding today's youth to teach them that killing is bad. On the other hand, some who loved and adored Kirk and the platform that he stood for are saying it's wrong to prosecute those celebrating his murder. Essentially, philosophies on free speech are pushing people to sides where you wouldn't expect to find them. And somewhere in the middle, many are wondering why the division in the U.S. has escalated to the point where a young man's senseless shooting death becomes a political tit-for-tat, from the top all the way on down. Here's Democratic Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar on that very topic. She's talking to FBI Director and close Trump confidant Kash Patel.
Cato Institute conservative think tank published a study just last week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That found from terrorists from the right were responsible for 6 times more deaths than people from the left. I actually don't want to go tit for tat on this, but what I am asking for is that this rhetoric of blaming one side or the other stop, if you could convey that to the president, and that we actually work on things that are solutions. So could you commit to me, Mr. Patel, Director Patel, that you will do that?
Absolutely, Senator.
In another instance in that same vein, a reporter asked the president why the flags were at half-mast for his friend Kirk, while they weren't for the Minnesota House Speaker, Melissa Hortman, a Democrat who was brutally murdered along with her husband. Suspect Vance Bolter was a registered Republican and was allegedly motivated to kill by a conservative viewpoint.
Given all of the moving ways that this White House has paid tribute to Charlie Kirk, right, do you think it would have been fitting to lower the flags to half staff when Melissa Hortman, the Minnesota House Speaker, was gunned down by an assassin as well?
I'm not familiar.
The Minnesota House Speaker, a Democrat, who was assassinated this summer.
And, well, if the governor had asked me to do that, I would have done that. But the governor of Minnesota didn't ask me. I wouldn't have thought of that.
President Trump did not call Governor Walz after the shooting because he said it would have been a, quote, waste of time, but President J.D. Vance did speak with the governor after the incident.
Today, though, we're not going to indulge in another tit-for-tat because that doesn't really help unite a divided America. What does help is agreeing on certain fundamentals and upholding them no matter where you fall on the political spectrum. Here's a discussion from WWJ News Radio in Detroit about free speech on college campuses.
Let's talk about this. What does free speech mean? The murder of conservative activist Charlie Kirk is making many people question if free speech is under attack at this moment in history. Dr. James Noss, chair of the history department at Oakland University, joins us live with more.
Well, I mean, to a university, free speech is at the core of really what we do. You know, our mission, whatever university you're at, is or ought to be to pursue the truth. And that requires having sort of a what a lot of people would call a marketplace of ideas, which includes potentially offensive ones or offensive to some people. And we believe that by having those sort of pressed into each other, we ultimately get closer to the truth. So suppressing that in any way undermines the very values of what we do at a university, but then more broadly to society at large, you know, democracy depends on free speech to function. So it's chilling in all kinds of ways.
Talk about this, Dr. Noss, because again, you've given us this overview, this definition of what free speech means. What does the impact of free speech or therein the repressive nature of actually having the right to have free speech do on something like a college campus?
Well, if I'm understanding your question, I mean, I think in this particular case where we're talking about violence, that potentially is going to have a long-term chilling effect on free speech at a college campus. You know, the mission of universities, as I said before, is to have a wide range of ideas, and so universities oftentimes provide a forum for ideas from all across the political spectrum, which at any given point some group of people finds offensive. And you can imagine university administrators are going to be asking difficult questions about, should we invite this person? Should we invite this person? Even if you invite them, you have to imagine speakers are going to be more nervous. Perhaps they have higher security requirements and all that sorts of stuff. And all of that leads to less ideas being shared, which is bad.
Absolutely. Joining us now on the live line as we speak about the murder of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. And again, the results thereafter, it's making people question if free speech is under attack at this moment in history. What is going to be the path moving forward? How would you say it will be?
It's a good question, and I wish I had a certain answer for you. I mean, I fear that a violence like this, particularly violence at a university like this, is going to have a decreased number of sort of controversial speakers from sort of any stripe willing to go to campus and being invited to campuses and stuff like that. And so I think there are going to be less ideas in that marketplace of ideas being shared, which is overall bad for universities. But the real problem is it's bad for society when that happens. I fear that's the case. I hope that it's not the case. And I hope, and we've seen pretty widespread condemnation. And so I hope that there are brave university employees, brave administrators, brave college presidents, willing to still sort of host diverse opinions, even if they can upset some people on campus. But I fear that it may not happen as much.
WCCO Radio's Jason DeRussia says the thirst for revenge is just out of control. But as more professors and teachers and a Secret Service agent and others get the axe, he wonders, should people lose their jobs for saying something you don't agree with?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Frankly, I'm glad to be speaking to anybody the way the internet has been coming for people over the last couple of days. I believe that you should be able to say almost anything online without having people come for your job. The current culture, you can call it accountability. I call it woke, out of control, cancel culture, and it's coming from people who have decided their job in life is to police everyone's reaction to the murder of Charlie Kirk. It is enough to make me think I should get off social media, because the chance of saying something that outrages one of these self-appointed speech policers out there is high. I had people coming for me last week on Thursday for a statement that was made by Corzo, who is filling in for me. It's like, well, if he's going to fill on your show, you should take. What is happening? The thirst for revenge and vengeance in our society right now online. I hope it hasn't crossed over into the real world, but I don't know. Do you think you should lose your job if you post something stupid? Let's just call it stupid. One person's real talk is another person's offensive statement. But all around the country, here in Minnesota, I've seen people who are like tallying various online comments that people make. Here's another one. I think our tolerance for people saying things we don't like should be much greater. What are we so afraid of? Why are we so afraid to let someone say something that you disagree with and then discuss the merits? The number of people, like, it started with an MSNBC political pundit. Now it spread to college campuses where the speech police are going after things that various university employees have said. There's a sports reporter, a Secret Service agent. Now, legally, you can fire somebody for any reason, but or for no reason in most cases, unless you're in a union. But is this the society we want, where after whatever horrible news event happens, now it's time for the purity test? Now it's time to make sure you say the right thing, because that's what America is about. If you don't toe the line after whatever thing goes on. My advice to all of you, delete all of your social media accounts. Get off social media. Don't share a thought in a way that can be traced ever again, because the lunatics are coming for you. And it's this crazy doxing. It's like, do your thing. Find them. And they post their LinkedIn, and this guy works at this college, and this person's an aide for some government agency. I cannot believe that the reaction to a podcaster, a thought leader, an entrepreneur, his assassination is to go after people who are saying, like, well, you know, he said a lot of racist stuff. Now, I have thoughts on the way we feel like we have to process these stories and these people as well. And we'll get into that after you get your chance on this sort of cancel culture that is really taking hold in the right wing of America right now. Thanks for calling, CCO. Where are you at on this? Because I feel like you should be able to say just about anything without having people coming for your job.
If you're quoting Charlie Kirk's own words and you get fired from your job for quoting his own words, how does that work? When our president stands and spews hatred and calls names to everybody and anybody that he can possibly think of, how is it that you get fired because you're stating Charlie Kirk's own words?
Yeah, so let me give you one quote that got a guy fired. He says, refusing to mourn a life devoted to that cause is not the same thing as celebrating gun violence. And he says, truly don't care if you think it's insensitive or poor timing to decline to respect an evil man who died. Would you fire that guy?
I think some people have gone a little bit too far in what they've said.
Yeah.
But when you also take on a political platform in the public and making money off of it, talking and spewing nothing but hate and discord, you know, there are ramifications, there are consequences for everything we do. And I don't mean that he should die because of that, because we're all entitled to our opinion.
Yeah.
But with your opinion, when you're doing it on a platform and charging money and indoctrinating young men, wow.
Most of the people who are getting fired is not just for quoting his statements. It's for saying he's evil. And I do think, like, there is this weird phenomena today where people feel like when someone is killed, then it's time for all of us to, like, do our analysis as to whether they were a good person or a bad person. And I just reject that also. I think if you don't like Charlie Kirk, it is not your job to lionize him. You don't have to be made to worship his history, but you could just kind of keep it to yourself. I don't know that why people feel a need to say, like, well, you know, no one deserves to be shot while they're speaking. And also, you know, he said this misogynistic thing and this racist thing. And he was, I'm like, just shut up. You don't have to say that at all. And if you say it, I will defend your right to say that, and you should not lose your job because of it. You just shouldn't.
So where exactly is this division coming from, and how can we change the conversation? Chad Hartman at WCCO in Minneapolis has some thoughts.
Donald Trump is the most powerful person in his administration, and considering his involvement in almost everything in his administration. I mean, he's basically his own press secretary. He's in charge of his PR. He gets involved with more mundane issues that other presidents would, you know, let their secretaries, department heads deal with. Not Trump. He's used to running a family business that was worth billions, and he seemingly views it this way. And how has the president reacted since the murder of a friend? And I get he's emotional, although I did note that. Was it 2 days after, when he's on the White House lawn and someone asked him, how are you holding up since you lost a friend? He said, I'm okay. And then he goes right away to their building the ballroom. I guess that would be a definitive answer. We all grieve differently. Okay? So Trump's the most powerful. I will contend Stephen Miller is the second most powerful person in that White House. Way more than J.D. Vance. Now, you might say Rubio because he's National Security Advisor and Secretary of State. But the guy who is the voice of MAGA that Trump uses all the time is Stephen Miller. This is part of what Stephen Miller said in the days after a horrifying event, an unacceptable event, a murder of someone who was exercising his freedom of speech. That is totally and completely unacceptable. Let's be clear about that. Here's what Stephen Miller said.
And let me tell you something, I'm not sure with anybody, but the last message that Charlie Kirk gave to me before he joined his creator in heaven was he said that we have to dismantle and take on the radical left organizations in this country that are fomenting violence. That was the last message that he sent me before that assassin stole him from all of us. And we are going to do that under President Trump's leadership. I don't care how. It could be a RICO charge, a conspiracy charge, conspiracy against the United States, insurrection. But we are going to do what it takes to dismantle the organizations and the entities that are fomenting riots, that are doxing, that are trying to inspire terrorism, and that are committing acts of wanton violence. It has to stop. And my message is to all of the domestic terrorists in this country spreading this evil hate. You want us to live in fear? We will not live in fear, but you will live in exile. Because the power of law enforcement under President Trump's leadership will be used to find you, will be used to take away your money, take away your power, and if you've broken the law, to take away your freedom, Sean.
Okay, and I get the emotion again, right? This is someone he knew well. At the end, he says, all domestic terrorists. Good. But earlier, what is the message, Dave? The radical left.
The radical left groups fomenting violence.
Right. What has President Trump said? Multiple times. Radical left. Radical left. Completely has dismissed the concept of the radical right. And again, it's someone he knew. Major said it with this the other day. There are top people who believe that Donald Trump doesn't win in 24 without Charlie Kirk. For a 31-year-old to lose his life this soon is grotesque. Leaves a wife and two young kids. But to act like we don't have domestic terrorists on both sides is insulting. It is. And again, the president chose to not mention the attack of Melissa and Mark Hortman. He had a list of only Democrats, Belter did. We have other instances of individuals who are evil, mentally ill, who also have targeted individuals on the left. We clearly have individuals who have targeted people on the right, including the president. Not one, but two assassination attempts. But I'm going to read from our friend Tom Friedman in a letter in his column, just Dear Mr. President. And part of that, he said, surprise us. And called out a scenario where he called Barack and Michelle Obama, Bill and Hillary Clinton, George and Laura Bush, the Democratic and Republican leaders of the Senate and House, and all nine Supreme Court justices said, come to the White House and let the country see us standing against political violence and vowing that we will model civil discord and disagreement in our speeches and online, and we will call out the opposite when we see it among our supporters as well as our rivals. He has no interest in that, and he's incapable of it so far. And I will contend, I don't know how far back we can go where every other president would have done that but Donald Trump. But every opportunity, including the murder of a 31-year-old, who, by the way, a number of his comments I found abhorrent, including death penalty for Joe Biden, including calling the individual who broke in to Paul and Nancy Pelosi's house and beat him with a hammer, called him a patriot, saying a 10-year-old who has been raped should carry that baby to full term and have it. But I would never, ever, ever, for those comments, say, well, he should be banned forever. There's a line, Dave. There is that rare line we can reach with free speech where it's inciting violence, where we then step in. Just because you massively disagree, that's not a point to say he shouldn't be allowed to speak. His comments on race often I found either racist or borderline racist. But because I disagree with him, would I ever even think a thought of he should be harmed? Never, ever. This is horrifying what took place. But could the president just once put aside the opportunity to excite his base? And this idea of Hitler, you've heard me over and over again, I would never, ever compare Donald Trump to Hitler. Ever. Push back on that all the time. By the way, I can give you two people did compare him to Hitler. Let's see, one's name is RFK Jr. and one's name is J.D. Vance. I think it's awful to compare him. But this doesn't shock me, and it's not slowing down that it's only about the left. And I have zero interest politically with the far left or far right. But if we don't think we have white supremacists and the rise of awful comments on the right, they're out there everywhere. Donald Trump using the word fascist over and over and over again. So anybody who's celebrating Charlie Kirk's death, I condemn that. 31-year-old man, gone. Wife, now a widow, two kids. Barely a memory of their dad. Exchanging in ideas. But we're allowed to raise some comments that Kirk offered and say you disagree. But right now we're not. You get shouted down. You're a hater. That's the opposite of what Charlie Kirk was talking about. Exchange ideas. And I would hope this would bother even supporters of the president saying, wait a second. This should be more than an opportunity to galvanize your base. But that's what it is.
All right. Let's debate what Pam Bondi said. 30.
There's free speech and then there's hate speech. And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society. We will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech, anything. And that's across the aisle.
Can I just say one thing?
Yep.
Let me just read this.
Mm-hmm.
Hate speech does not exist legally in America. There's ugly speech, there's gross speech, there's all mm-hmm. speech. And all of it is protected by the First Amendment. Keep America free. You know who wrote that? Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Very conversation. And it's a fun, it's a fun conversation to have. But you're right. You know who would nail it? That's what is so sad to me. Charlie Kirk would have owned this conversation. And he would agree with Greg Stocker.
Thank you.
Here's what I believe, if I could just kind of parse through what they're all saying. And what was serious to me that I took note of, I mean, Stephen Miller and the Vice President of the United States and all of those political, people with jobs in the government, okay? Yep. These are not commentators, so that makes it serious. So I believe that there's a big difference between somebody who makes a threat, and that threat is backed up by some level of planning or plotting to harm people. But that's not what I would call threatening speech or even hate speech. It's a plot. It's a plan, right? And so I think that what Pam Bondi, I believe, you know, she's somebody who's trying to describe plans or plots to hurt individuals, to hurt people, to silence them. that's different because it is an action. But until the words go into an action, you know, you have to be careful with that. And I have no doubt that law enforcement at every level has dealt with that. And even I imagine that there are people in law enforcement who feel frustrated by this issue, that they're in situations, whether it's a domestic situation or a mental health situation. We've heard about this. We've heard about parents, caregivers, you know, and that sort of thing, husbands and wives, where they say, well, this person is they've threatened me, this and that. And they'll literally say, well, until they do something or show an action, we're powerless. We can't help you. I mean, that's something that I think law enforcement deals with on a routine basis. But Greg, to your point, you're exactly right. If somebody has hate speech or love speech, that's a concept.
Who defines it? Who defines what hate speech is?
It's still speech.
Well, it's you know what it really reminds me of? What is the definition of pornography, right? You go back to that Supreme Court case, mm-hmm. You know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Hate speech, you know it when you see it or you know it when you hear it. Whether something legally has a definition or common sense would imply that it exists, I think needs to be analyzed. I do think there is hate speech. I don't think the government should curtail or police it. I think you overcome it by better speech.
She's saying go after.
Yeah,
she
I don't
wants
agree
to go
with
after
that.
These people. That is what she
okay,
is saying.
Okay, so let's go through some examples. If somebody says on social media that works for a company, Bob Johnson works for Home Depot, and he posts on X, I want left-wingers to kill all white Christian males. Or let's flip it around. Bob Johnson works for Home Depot and says, I want every black human being killed. Is that hate speech? Does that lead to cancel culture? Does that lead to consequence culture with your employer? Is that something the government should arrest
no,
you for?
Absolutely not. Absolutely okay. not.
So then there's a couple other layers to this. I want to highlight a tweet, Zioli, actually two tweets from Rich. I think he nails these. 9 hours ago, Rich said, since we're talking about canceling, if we can't agree there's a difference, firing a comedian for jokes and a professor celebrating murder, then we have major problems. To quote Jules, it ain't the same effing ballpark. It ain't the same league. It ain't even the same effing sport.
Here's the thing about...
But let me ask you this, because this is... See, these are all great ideas and great thoughts, and I agree with them. But then when you start applying real-life examples... So, speech doesn't incite violence. I tend to agree with that. But if you're mentally ill, let's say Tyler Robinson, mentally ill, Ryan Wesley Ruth, Thomas Matthew Crooks, any of these people, left-wing or right-wing, that commit or attempt to accomplish these heinous acts. If you're mentally ill and you were driven to do this because you can't process and separate what a politician says versus what you apply practically to your life, how do we police and judge it then? Eventually, there's somebody out there that's going to believe what you are saying. I think there is an indirect correlation between hammering home something repeatedly. I don't know that there is a exact answer to all of this, but I am a believer in absolute speech. But that does not mean that we shouldn't have consequences. I agree hate speech exists, but I don't want her going after people for it. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I think that she... Okay, here's what I would say about Pam Bondi in this conversation. And we've seen this with Pam Bondi. Let's just go back to when she went on the Jesse Waters show. And she's an attorney who's argued in court. And so she's somebody who has a vast knowledge of the law. And so I wish she would quote the law here. I wish she would quote the law and talk about what law you can go after people for threatening action and they're plotting and planning to harm people. And so with free speech, the First Amendment, it's your public expression of your opinion without censorship. That's it. If you say things that are loving or hateful or so on, then look, it might be abhorrent to all of us. We may hate it. We may just shudder to think of it. It may be really ugly and nasty. But for her as an official within the United States government, she needs to specify what exactly she's talking about.
It's a good point.
I would say the same thing with Stephen Miller, who was a little more specific, and Vice President Vance as well yesterday speaking about this, because what they're talking about is cases by which there are people working together, coordinating together in coordinated efforts to then pass out printed information or information that's printed or passed along, let's say, on devices that is encouraging others to target people for their political beliefs and, quote unquote, harass them, make them miserable, or take physical action against not only them, but also their families. Yes. And so at what point does that cross over between, well, hey, I'm free on the internet and using the airwaves, which are the airwaves right now are government regulated. And if you're using such airwaves to pass along messages to others, to transmit war against people, to make that person intimidated, to make that person fearful, to physically do actions against that individual's freedom or liberty, well, now you're talking about more than just free speech.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of On Deadline, written and produced by Christy Strasser and by me. It's your radio news, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.